The following presentation is brought to you by The Realm Network.
The Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show.
Wow, great party.
Thanks.
Hey, where's the bathroom?
Down the hall, second door on the left.
Jesus Christ!
Yes?
Oh, my God.
What's the matter?
You've got some f***ed up shit going on in your bathroom.
Are Bill and Kelly having sex in there again? I told him to use the bedroom.
No, man. There's some glowy baby.
Oh, that's my Glow with God Baby Jesus soap on a rope from Bubble Genius. It smells like baby powder.
Dude, it was speaking to me with angels singing.
Uh-huh. You had one of those brownies in the kitchen, didn't you?
Cleanliness is next to godliness at Bubble Genius.
BubbleGenius.com.
Recorded live in the USA and covering the whole wide world, this is the Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show.
Right on!
With Bob Seska and Chez Pazienza.
You see, if you shoot pool with some employee here, you can come and borrow money. What does that get us? A discontented, lazy rabble instead of a thrifty working class. And all because a few starry-eyed dreamers like Peter Bailey stir them up and fill their head with a lot of impossible ideas. Now, I say...
Just a minute now. Hold on, Mr. Potter. Just a minute. Now, you're right when you say my father was no businessman. I know that. Why he ever started this cheap penny-ante building alone, I'll never know, but... Neither you nor anybody else can say anything against his character because his whole life was... Why, in the 25 years since he and Uncle Billy started this thing, he never once thought of himself. Isn't that right, Uncle Billy? He didn't save enough money to send Harry to school, let alone me. But he did help a few people get out of your slums, Mr. Potter. And what's wrong with that? Well, here, you're all businessmen here. Don't it make them better citizens? Doesn't it make them better customers? You said that they... What'd you say just a minute ago? They had to wait and save their money before they even thought of a decent home? Wait? Wait for what? Until their children grow up and leave them? Until they're so old and broken down that they... Do you know how long it takes a working man to save $5,000? Just remember this, Mr. Potter, that this rabble you're talking about, they do most of the working and paying and living and dying in this community. Well, is it too much to have them work and pay and live and die in a couple of decent rooms and a bath? Anyway, my father didn't think so. People were human beings to him, but to you, a warped, frustrated old man, they're cattle. Well, in my book, he died a much richer man than you'll ever be.
We're hoping that your holiday is an extra special jolly day.
The Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show.
Hi! We're the Commodores.
And I'm William King.
I'm Lionel Richie.
I'm Thomas McLaren.
I'm Marvin Williams.
I'm Walter Clyde.
And I'm Ron LaPre.
And we'd like to say to all of our friends, have a merry, merry Christmas
and a happy new year.
It's Thursday, December 12, 2013, and this is the Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show. I'm Bob, that's Chez right over there. We're brought to you by BubbleGenius.com, pure product for Genius Bubble Genius. Buy all of your Christmas holiday gifts there.
I'm just trying to ignore your fascination with that movie.
Why? What? Okay, now we're going to get into it. What is it? What's your problem?
Dude, the magic. Yeah, oh, my God. There is tree sap that is not a real tree sap that is not as sappy as that movie.
It's
real, honest to God, like it comes out of trees.
At no other time, I think, in our lives, I think, has that movie been more appropriate. I think, especially back during the recession. I mean, we talk about this every year. But during the Great Recession, that movie took on a whole new meaning. I mean, before that, I thought, this just can't be fun.
Right.
But during the recession, I'm looking at that thing and I'm going, oh, my God. Yeah, I get it now. I get what this movie's all about. I mean, it's really a movie about economics. I mean, that's ultimately what it's about. But it's got that ending that makes it all Christmassy. But I mean, for the most part, it's about, aspiring to be something more than you are, and negotiating finance and trying to protect the middle class and against wealthy bankers and wealthy interests. Hey, by the way, Imani Gandhi is here. Angry Black Lady, welcome.
Hello.
There
How are you?
Great to be here.
Now, you, am I the only one of the three of us who likes that movie, It's a Wonderful Life?
I mean, I've seen it. But I get why it's so beloved among people. But, you know, it's a lot of white people complaining about stuff.
There you go.
Oh, well. Oh, hey, by the way, we're also brought to you by the Bowen Law Group and attorney Charles J. Bowen. He's the best. He's fast, smart. He knows how to communicate with his clients. Bowen Group covers commercial banking, manufacturing, employment, personal injury, and medical malpractice law. Large firm experience, small firm attention, elite firm ability, thebowenlawgroup.com. Click the link on the podcast page. Oh, and by the way, for the holiday season, use the bobsesca.com Amazon link when you buy all your stuff from Amazon. Just go to the blog, click the Amazon link right under the logo, and then if you go do all your shopping there at Amazon, we get a bit of the commission from that. So thank you in advance. Okay, so you know, we were talking right before the show. Twitter made a weird decision. I want to talk about this a little bit. Twitter now has changed its blocking rules. It used to be that if you block someone, that you can't see their tweets. You can't even see their tweets if you go to their account. If you go to their main timeline, you can't see them. But they couldn't follow you. The people you blocked couldn't follow you. Well, now they can follow you. So they can, but they can also interact with your tweets. I mean, you could always respond to someone who's blocked you. But now they can follow you and receive your posts, your tweets in their timeline. So this is an interesting turn of events. I'm wondering why they loosened that up. Now, I know we were talking about before the show that the reason, I mean, typically for me, I mean, the reason I block people is because I don't want to see their crap. I don't want to see their tweets. And so that remains the same. But why would they go? Why do you think they would do this?
Don't you have to go looking for stuff like that? For, like, people's tweets? I mean, I don't know.
No, I mean, well.
Yeah, I mean, well, you could always go and.
You can, like, tell I spend a lot of time on Twitter.
Yeah, Chaz, you're a noob.
That's right.
On purpose, though. Mm-hmm. You could always search people's names to go see what's going on. You could, and I'm like you, Bob. I block people because I get trolled and harassed and called names and whatever a great deal. And so do a lot of, like, women of color, people of color, just, you know, just nasty idiots. Yeah. So I block people because I don't want their crap showing up in my mentions, because I'm the sort of person that if I see something in my mentions, it takes me, I know I shouldn't respond, but it takes seconds, minutes for me to convince myself not to respond. It's just a waste of my time. So if I don't see it, I'm not encouraged to do it. But what's funny is, I don't know if you saw this Forbes article that just came out, like, 15 minutes ago.
No.
Entitled, Blocking People on Twitter Now Just Mutes Them. And then the picture that accompanies the article is Glenn Greenwald's profile page with the sub caption, From now on, this dude won't know that Glenn Greenwald blocked him.
Well, you know, I mean, I think the blocking process should actually is, if I wanted to block some stalker, some weird troll or something like that, I should be able to block them, and they shouldn't be able to see my tweets anymore either.
Yeah, but the thing is that they can just go, unless Twitter is going to make a rule that each person or somehow can only have one Twitter account, like if they were to tie it to your identity and then foreclose people from having more than one account, then it doesn't matter, because the trolls can just go get another account and, you know, at stalking Bob Seska, and that's the account they use. They never tell you that they're following you, but they just add that account to their app and they just follow what you're saying on there. So, like, it's a false sense of security. The whole blocking procedure was always sort of a false sense of security, and I always saw it as preventing people from cluttering your timeline with their nonsense.
Well, isn't that the way they do it on Facebook, where if you block someone on Facebook, you can't see them, they can't see you anymore? I think that's
right. Right, because that's tied to a person.
Yeah. Well, I guess it is. Yeah.
You know.
Okay.
I would like for Twitter to come up with a way to block people from making multiple accounts, like, in quick succession, because I have this Twitter stalker that stalks me and Rebecca Schoenkopf of Wonkette, my friend Emily Hauser, Jessica Valenti, Kaylee Joy, who blogs at Daily Kos, calling us just the nastiest, gnarliest names. And it's just this, and they're on like hot skank number 453. I think they started out with hot skank number one. And it's just the same. I mean, and sometimes it'll be two or three a day. Once I counted 25 in 1 week. And it's just annoying because whenever I see them, I'm like, oh, gosh.
Yeah, I know.
You know, and it's just, I don't get bothered by it because I don't consider this person like a real life threat. But at a certain point, if someone is trying to actually stalk someone and do someone harm, they should not be allowed to continue to just create a Twitter account so that they can.
No. And that's one of the things that I say it freely. I don't like about Twitter is that I don't want to be available to anybody. On Facebook, it's like, you know what, I can can people. I can get rid of them. Yeah. And, you know, and I can control what people see and so on. Mm-hmm. I every once in a while I'll have a little Twitter conversation. I don't do Twitter fights. In fact, I actually wrote an entire piece on it at Deus Ex Malcontent a while back. And, like, the entire rationale for writing that piece on why I don't get into Twitter fights was so that if somebody just kept with me over and over and over again trying to prod me into a fight, I would just send them the link. And go, look, stick. This is why I'm not, you know, getting into an argument with you.
Yeah.
You know, take this and shove it in your ass. So, yeah, I mean, there's something about just being out there for everybody. You know, I mean, screw it. I do it now because I write for Banter. And it's like, you know, at me and Bob's own personal blogs, we could control the things that people wrote. We can't do it now. And I wouldn't do it anyway. I mean, it was very, very rare that I actually X'd somebody out of a comment when I was writing for DXM. But, nah, you know what? I mean, being just being constantly, you're right, being constantly pestered, I try to ignore it, but there is always, if you write online, that means that you have something in your personality where you're going to respond, or you're at least, you know, there's something inside of you that wants to respond. Bob, I know, Bob, you, God
bless
you,
I have a syndrome.
You have whatever that freaking chip is in your brain that you have to respond.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's why blocking is very handy for me, because right. I can do that. I can act like a child and go, nah, 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 not listening, because my compulsion is to absolutely respond. It's just right. Like, I mean, I'm seeing right here in my timeline. I'm in my Twitter timeline. This guy, and I just retweeted it. This guy named Blake Wally. I have no idea who he is. He's got 2,500 followers. He says, shocker, Bob Hack Seska misleading his readers about the ACA report, juking the Obamacare stats. Right?
Whatever.
And so, and then he links to something in the Wall Street Journal, and I'm scanning here as if it would actually mention me, but it doesn't. So he links to this Wall Street Journal thing about looking at the statistics for the enrollment statistics and numbers that just came out yesterday, and so. But I want to respond to this guy. I want to, you know. Kick his ass, you know. It's just I'm compelled to do it.
Yeah,
I just can't help it.
For me, the good thing is I have ADD, so literally something will go in one ear and out the other within seconds. So if I block someone, I literally forget they exist.
Yeah.
You know, until they pop up, I'm like, oh yeah, that person. But you know, so it's not like I'm going to block someone and then still like 5 minutes later be thinking, oh, that guy really was a jerk. I block you and you cease to exist in my brain.
Yeah,
remember, I can't keep the information in there.
I mean, remember that time, Chaz Beck? I think it was the 4th of July. Where I spent the entire 4th of July holiday arguing with trolls on Twitter.
Oh, yeah.
I couldn't help it. I was just like back
and forth. And again, I can't wrap my head around that. I want to have a life. Yeah. I want to detach.
Believe me, so do I. This is like a weird form of Tourette's. I can't hold it back. I just got to do it. And if I say, all right, I'm not going to do it this time. I'm just not going to respond. I'm going to take the high road and not deal with these people because I want to have a life. My hands start to like magnetically pull towards my keyboard and I suddenly go, yeah, F you. It's bad. It's bad. I need a pill or something. Drugs. I don't know what.
Sometimes it's fun to pick at trolls, you know, especially if they're, just so dumb. Yeah. You know, like I don't like what Oliver Willis just posted today when he was arguing with that person about whether or not Santa Claus or Jesus was black. Like those are the kinds of troll engagements that can be really fun. The trick is to stop engaging once you find yourself getting actually angry. Yeah. You know, like if you're keeping it fun, if you're snarking back at them, if you're, you know, making them look like an idiot, that's fun. But if they actually start to get under your skin and then you find yourself getting rageful, then it's time to like go eat a cookie or something.
Exactly. And, you know, it was one of those weeks where you wanted to engage people on a bunch of different levels because we're just right now we're neck deep in silly season. It's the holiday season, but it's also silly season because Congress isn't in session. There's nothing really going on. So we get this crap. We get, like, sign language interpreter gate. We get selfie gate. We get handshake gate. All of these gates. I don't know if they've been actually termed mm-hmm. gates, but, I mean, they were just, like, scandals that came out of mainly the Mandela funeral. And so this is the kind of stuff we're dealing with. We're dealing with, oh, my God, the holy crap, the president shook hands with Raul Castro. And so then we got to spend 2 days batting down, you know, all that crap. And, you know, I had to do the obligatory post where you show, like, Nixon shaking hands with Fidel Castro. Oh, no, not again. No. And then you got to show, Rumsfeld shaking hands with Saddam Hussein and la, 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 la.
Right.
And then, yeah. and then Selfie Gate comes up. And it's, oh, my God, Obama's flirting with the Dutch woman or whoever it was.
Yeah, I just wrote a piece about that because it was just it's so ridiculous. I don't know if you read Andrea Peiser's piece about it at the New York Post.
God, no.
That's terrible.
Oh, my God.
It's like, raging hormones, Obama.
I just felt my vagina dry up, and I don't even have a vagina. You have to do is mention Peiser's name.
She basically just heaped so many sexist descriptors on Helle Thorning-Schmidt, yeah. who's, you know, the prime minister of Denmark, the first prime minister of Denmark, the first leader of, like, the Social Democrat Party in Denmark. And she calls her everything from a Danish hellcat to a cross-legged Danish cupcake, a blonde bimbo, and says that she has gentle gams. Like it's the 19... Hey, nice gams,
nice
see?
Gams.
Like,
yeah.
What the...
It's 1946. We're in...
It's like, hey, that broad had nice gams. You
we're
know?
In the Mr. Potter alternate universe of yeah, It's a Wonderful Life. Ah, nice gams there, hon. Yeah.
Stop with the chin music, you.
You'll be sleeping with the fishes.
Here's one of the quotes, which is really good. Not to be outdone by the president's bad behavior, and she called the president a hormone ravaged frat boy on a road trip to a strip bar.
Right.
So I f-ing hate that woman. You have no idea.
Oh, it gets better. Not to be outdone by the president's bad behavior, the Danish hellcat hiked up her skirt to expose long Scandinavian legs covered by nothing more substantial than sheer black stockings.
Oh, my God.
I mean, it's like she's writing for, like, Penthouse Playboy or Forums or whatever it's called.
Yeah.
I mean, she has always been the New York Post. I mean, and the Post sucks anyway, but the New York Post resident pissy prude. You know, that's what she is. She is this joyless, pissy harridan. I mean, she really is.
God. And she's also got
full of judgments about anybody else, especially, God forbid, women who are either somewhat attractive or who in any way put their sexuality front and center. Because, of course, you know, not to be a dick. Well, no, I'm going to be a dick. Because Andrea Peiser looks like a freaking turd. I suck. Yeah, you can edit that out.
All right. We got a break back after this.
Great. You're using that to take us to commercial.
Bob and Chez Show.
Let the trees, are you listening? In the lakes, don't you see?
All right, we're back with Angry Black Lady. I'm sure you know this about me by now. I'm just I'm kind of addicted to Christmas. I really talk about syndromes. I've got it. I've got the Christmas fever.
I want to punch you like Steve Martin wanted to punch John Candy.
Wait till we get to the after party. To the after party. I've got, on the after party this week, I've got the most annoying Fox News segment ever. That's coming up on the after party. And it's not the Megyn Kelly thing. The Megyn Kelly thing is separate. Did you? And by now, we've all heard about the Megyn Kelly segment. We talked about it a little bit with regards to Oliver Willis's post on the Daily Banter today. But Megyn Kelly, I mean, this was, when I saw this on, I guess it was the, no, it wasn't Colbert, it was the Daily Show. When I saw this on the Daily Show last night, I couldn't believe that it was an actual thing. It was easily the lowest point, I believe, in the history of Fox News Channel. They had a panel on Megyn Kelly's show of four people in those little boxes debating Santa Claus's skin color.
Yep.
I mean, this is where we are with the most popular cable news network in the United States of America.
But no. Don't, just never call it that, because you know, you need to keep an understanding in your head at all times about why Fox News is the most popular in the country. Right. It's because they don't have viewers, they have fanatics who want to hear their brand of news. That's the only reason, and they don't watch anything else.
Yeah,
but
sure.
Yeah, but no, regardless of how popular it is, a 24-hour cable news station is having this debate.
I mean,
yeah, I mean it's a freaking clown show over there.
I mean, can you imagine being one of those analysts and you get the call? Okay, yeah, can you be on Megyn Kelly this afternoon? I say, oh, sure, yeah, I can do it. What are we talking about? Oh, we're talking about Santa Claus and whether or not he was white.
Gawker called her a race hustler today.
That's really good. Oh, that's brilliant.
Yeah. Well, here's this segment. I thought we'd parse it a little bit. This is the Fox News segment about whether or not Santa Claus, and then it gets to Jesus. Whether, just making sure that everyone knows that Santa Claus is white.
It's very important that they say that Jesus has to be a white conservative. That's what they have to sell to their audience.
Exactly. I mean, it is really, we're going to get to this, but it's really indicative of the broader problem with Fox News.
Hold on, because I want to get to this other topic. So in Slate, they have a piece on .com, Santa Claus should not be a white man anymore. And when I saw this headline, I kind of laughed. And I said,
The war on Santa. Who will stop the war on Santa?
It's a proxy war on white people is what it is.
Ridiculous.
War on Santa.
War on Santa.
And another person claiming it's racist to have a white Santa, you know? And by the way, for all you kids watching at home, Santa just is white, but this person is just arguing that maybe we should also have a black Santa. But, you know, Santa is what he is, and just so you know, we're just debating this because someone wrote about it, kids. Okay, I wanted to get that straight. But
she's talking to kids. She's talking to kids.
That's right.
Because the only kids who watch the show, and in Needham in America, are white kids.
Well, you're right. There are no black kids watching Fox News Channel.
Well, I'm glad you picked that out, Chez, because this is where this segment is indicative of everything we see on Fox News Channel. Making up crap in order to pander to its audience. That's what Fox News Channel does. And this segment is, they're making up crap about Santa Claus and Jesus in order to pander to children. I mean, this is like a segment that's designed for children. Like all this, is like
Fox News is there. You know what? This is it. Nothing comes down to nothing. Sort of personifies and sums up the entire ethos of Fox News Channel more than that one moment that Glenn Beck had forever ago, where he said, "You know, things are scary out there, but we surround them." You know, we're still in control. That little speech that he gave that time, because that is basically, that should be Fox News's, that should be their tagline, their slogan. That's their mission statement. Their mission statement is to say, you are being assaulted on all sides, but don't worry, we're still here.
We're
going to get through this.
Yeah.
You're going to be okay. Santa is still white. Don't worry, we're not letting them take that away from you. Come back, where you're safe in the bubble. You know, it's that. You know what it is? Also, it's that line from Pleasantville. It's a good. It's raining outside, but it's a good thing. We're in a bowling alley. We're safe here in a bowling alley.
When I read the piece, the author seems to have, you know, she's African American, and she seems to have real pain at having grown up with this image of a white Santa, and she speaks about it kind of honestly, saying, "I didn't really understand why that had to be."
Yeah, she wants Santa to be inclusive. And I had the same reaction. Initially, I was thinking, oh, this is more politically correct nonsense. This is hypersensitivity in our culture. And then you read the piece and you really walk through the steps with her. I think it's a tribute to her writing. And you realize if you were a young kid and you were African American and your Santa Claus was white, it would affect you when you went to school. Maybe you wouldn't feel that you were part of that tradition. Now, she suggests that a penguin should be Santa.
Okay, and that's where she that's goes off the rails.
Well, I think that's...
She's totally off the rails. Unlike all the rest of Fox News channels, this is, I mean, a penguin, a Santa Claus, my God, this is a silly season. What are we talking about? I mean, this is just so, this is like so meta. It is, it's Fox News curling in on itself.
Yeah.
Now, I should obviously just ask you, Imani, how do you feel in terms of the representation of Santa Claus as a fuzzy white man?
I feel like, I feel oppressed, frankly. Feel oppressed and more. No, I don't give a I really don't. First of all, you know, my mom's Jewish, so I grew up with like an amalgamation of Christmas and Hanukkah and Kwanzaa. Yeah. So I don't really give a crap whether Santa is white or not. I mean, Santa is Santa. He's not a real person, for one thing. You know, maybe, I don't know, maybe St. Nick was a real person. But didn't David Sedaris write a piece about how in Holland, Santa's a black man who comes and steals all your children?
Oh, I mean, I mean, there's a whole other legend where sort of the origin story of Santa Claus is like the story of Sinterklaas, and then Sinterklaas went around with a sidekick named Black Pete,
right,
who was like this guy in blackface, and they would.
I think I remember seeing that on a Droopy cartoon from like you know, the 1940s.
And then there's also the story of Krampus. And that's
Krampus,
a whole
Krampus yeah.
is a whole other thing. I mean, actually, and
Krampus is terrifying.
There's some overlap between the mythology of Krampus and Sinterklaas. So I mean, it's all there. It's all there. Yeah. It's just what
and if you think about like how many of the fairy tales we've been sold by Disney are actually really terrifying, like how just creepy and messed up in the head the Brothers Grimm were.
Oh yeah,
it wouldn't surprise me if you know. Santa Claus would come to your house, like steal your brothers and sisters, and then leave you a present, like here, to make up for the fact that I'm going to take your family and eat them. Yeah. I mean, it's just they're legends and fairy tales. I don't get too worked up about it, but I can understand how growing up, if you grew up with the Christmas tradition and the trees and the whatnot, and then you go to school and all the Santa Clauses are white and you're black or you're Asian or whatever, I can see how that could be alienating. But, you know, I'm a black Jew, so what the hell do I know?
Well, I mean, here's the thing. I mean, everyone's allowed to have whatever Santa Claus they want to have. You know what I mean?
Right.
And all this is, this entire Fox News Channel segment is about, you know, perpetuating this ridiculous war on Christmas thing. But now we're going to roll the kids into it. Like, oh my God, kids, look at these. People are trying to make, you know, Santa Claus into a black man or a penguin. Oh my God, this is horrible. Just look, turn away, turn away. And then it gets really preposterous when they start talking about Jesus, because Megyn Kelly just sort of shoehorns this in here. First of all, the fact that we're talking about Santa Claus as a real guy anyway is just absurd, right? If you don't pick up that this is about, you know, directed at kids, you're thinking, well, Megyn, you're telling me that, okay. But she says later on in the segment, I'm going to play the whole thing. Just because it makes you feel uncomfortable, she says, doesn't mean it has to change. Jesus was a white man too. He was a historical figure. That's a verifiable fact, as is Santa. I just want the kids watching to know that. My point is, how do you just revise it in the middle of the legacy of the story and change Santa from white to black? I don't know. It's like it's the same argument that they have about the definition of marriage. You know,
It's everything is changing. Think how scary things are getting out there.
Exactly.
Everything is changing. Why can't everything just stay the same?
Yeah. On top of the fact that
well, I mean, now that, you know, we've got a black president and he's turning Jesus black. I mean, I think Chess is right. It's just people, there are white people that are very scared.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There are white people that feel like whiteness needs to be the center of their existence and the center of society. And so when whiteness becomes not the focal point, and when you hear statistics about, you know, in the Census Bureau about how in 20 whatever, you know, white people are going to be a minority and there are going to be more Latinas and more black people and more of this and all these other colored people. And what am I supposed to do? Well, at least Jesus and Santa are still white.
Right.
We'll always have Jesus and Santa.
That's exactly it. Exactly. It's like, you know, and now they want to take that away from us. They've got everything else. We're losing everything.
Yeah.
Because when Obama was elected and the right completely lost its mind, that was one of the first things that I said before I even used the term racism. you know, I said, I'm like, it's more than just racism. There's racism there, but it's something else. And it's xenophobia. And it's just, it's Obama's ascension represented to them that big step where it's like, this country doesn't look like us anymore. Mm-hmm. This everything is changing. And we just stop. Enough with the progress. You know, we need to stop, or even better, go back. That's why you're always hearing, want our country back. Why can't things go back to the way they were? That kind of thing.
Okay, we got to take a another break. Back after this.
Stand by for a special news bulletin. Well, okay, it's not really a news bulletin. It's more like a bulletin about the news. Buzz Burbank News and Comment never went away. It just moved, and now it's part of the Realm Network. Some say the best part, but who are you going to believe? Anyway, it's now a free daily download available on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, RSS, and BuzzBurbank.com. Here's the deal. You give me 10 or 15 minutes a day, and I'll give you my world. I think you'll like it. It's all today's news, only better. Thoughtful, digestible, kind of funny, really. And I include stories that are interesting to you and me. I'll bet I can make you laugh. Sometimes I'll make you cry. Sometimes I'll make you angry. And sometimes I'll make you proud. It's stories about us. It's stories for us. You may just give up on other news. At the very least, I hope you'll listen and spread the word. Buzz Burbank News and Comment at BuzzBurbank.com.
Wow, great party.
Thanks.
Hey, where's the bathroom?
Down the hall, second door on the left.
Jesus Christ!
Yes?
Oh, my God.
What's the matter?
You got some f***ed up shit going on in your bathroom.
Are Bill and Kelly having sex in there again? I told him to use the bedroom.
No, man. There's some glowy baby.
Oh, that's my Glow with God Baby Jesus Soap on a Rope from Bubble Genius. It smells like baby powder.
Dude, it was speaking to me with angels singing.
Uh-huh. You had one of those brownies in the kitchen, didn't you?
Cleanliness is next to godliness at Bubble Genius.
BubbleGenius.com.
Shove Bob and Chez into your pants and haul them around with you wherever you go. Subscribe to the Bob and Chez Show in the podcast section on iTunes.
Sacrilicious. Hey, by the way, your promo code is Bob and Chez, BOBANDCHEZ, when you do all your holiday shopping at BubbleGenius.com. Make sure to put in that promo code. You get 15% off everything you buy there, and I hope you buy it.
Inara went on a rampage at the Bubble Genius Lab.
Did you finally make it over there?
Oh, yeah. We got over there, and she just, I mean, Paula handed over a bunch of cool stuff, and Inara, you know, brought it all back, and my bathtub was full of Bob's hibiscus whatever the hell it is. Bob's hibiscus soap.
I don't remember it authorizing
perfect,
that.
Perfect for masturbation. It makes just the right amount of suds.
Oh, suds.
Yes, I did lots of research and development on that one.
Speaking of which, you're going to have to, speaking of horrible language, you're going to have to actually bleep the Bubble Genius ads this week.
I know. And I was warned about that. Paula sent me an email. Run the Glow with God spot, but it's got the F word in there. You got to bleep it. So nice. That's going to be fun. It's just like I'm going to spend the next 2 hours after we're done with the show bleeping things.
I'm trying to be good.
Oh, being good. Oops, sorry, just kidding.
So we did this a couple of weeks ago, and here we are again. Look who's attacking me now. Charlie Pierce, once again.
Did it happen again?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. I was taking Inara back yesterday. I've been out of the loop pretty much. And yesterday is my birthday, so I went out and got like incredibly drunk last night, and I still haven't really recovered.
Oh yeah, how much did you drink?
Oh, Jesus. What? A couple of old fashions at Formosa. A drink and some kind of drink. I don't know what the hell. Something in a martini glass and like a full bottle of wine at Moza. And then I think we had more bourbon when we got to Harvard and Stone.
Oh,
so, yeah, I was
God.
Very drunk.
Wow. Okay. Yep. Are you still just a little bit drunk?
Oh, yeah. Not drunk. I'm hungover.
Oh, okay. That's when you've had a night. Yeah. When the next morning and the next, even into the noontime hours or so, you're still kind of feeling
You're still drunk.
You're still a little drunk.
Oh, I've been that way plenty of times in my life. Plenty of times. Yeah. If we hadn't started drinking around, like, 7 or whatever, if we'd gone out like later and so it was like 9 p.m. to maybe 2 in the morning, I would have still been drunk. You know, thankfully, I think I was in bed by like midnight.
Well, so I go over to Esquire and the politics section, which is run by Charlie Pierce, who I really like and who, you know, I read his stuff every day. And then once again, I'm like, because now I'm scrolling with caution. It's like, oh, like, you know, every time I write something about Greenwald, I'm like, what's Charlie Pierce going to say now? And, you know, if you recall, I wrote a reply to something that Glenn Greenwald was ranting about on Twitter about how we need to be careful because of what might happen, what the NSA might do to us, you know, because that was the whole point, which is wrong, the whole point of George Orwell's 1984. So I said, well, okay, now we've got to come up with some sort of Godwin's Law about George Orwell. We need to come up with something new. It's like, if you mention George Orwell in the context of a national security, civil liberties debate, you've automatically lost. You lost that debate. You know, that, I mean, because that's basically Godwin's Law. Anyone who invokes Nazis or Hitler in the course of a political debate, which is inevitable if it goes on long enough, you lose. You're out of the debate. So I wrote this piece in response saying, you know, we can't be concerned about what might happen because then we're just constantly paranoid about what might happen because anything can happen. Anything. I mean, the president could ostensibly turn the IRS onto every political dissident in the country, have them audited and have their wages garnished and their bank accounts levied. This can happen all over the place. So we got
right now there is somebody who InfoWars who has just isolated that comment from you and you're going to see it. You're going to see it. Alex Jones throwing to it. Like tomorrow morning.
Yeah. So, I mean,
Bob Seska said this.
Well, they probably already have done that with the post I wrote about it. Because, I mean, this is what Charlie Pierce did. Charlie Pierce basically went off like Alex Jones. This is just what strikes me as being strange that there's so much overlap between that group, the sort of the Greenwald group, and the Alex Jones group. There's just a lot of Venn diagram overlap between those two. And that ought to be alarming. But Charlie Pierce said, you know, first of all, he took one comment out of what I wrote and made that out to seem as if that was the only thing I wrote. You know, I did say it is entirely possible. It is entirely possible that the NSA could start snooping on our internet porn surfing habits. So anything's possible. Whether it will and whether or not we should be bent out of shape over it is a whole other discussion. All right, so I go off on, the NSA has done this before where it's like Shamrock and Minaret and all these COINTELPRO, you know, sort of violations of not only the law but also the Constitution, and were appropriately stopped. The same with the Bush era warrantless wiretapping and all that. All that was ended, all right? So at this point, all we can do is look for things that are actually happening, and if they're against the law, then we stop them. We're not going to get into a whole thing about stopping future crimes. And I made points about all of this. And he took one thing, and I hate to be one of those guys who says this, but he took one thing out of context and went off on this sort of scolding, like, tisk tisk young man kind of rants about it. You know, the point is that in all of human history, he says, if you grant the government surveillance powers, it will use them and, in using them, expand them. And it will end up using them in its own on its own citizens simply because that is always the path of least resistance. That's so weak. This is why James Otis got all up in the King's grill about the writs of assistance. This is also why we have the Fourth Amendment to the Constitution. But you know that the Fourth Amendment to the Constitution only talks about prevents warrantless searches and seizures. You can get a warrant and search someone. That in 99.9999% of the time, if there are American citizens that the NSA is surveilling, they're doing it with court oversight and warrants. Right? I mean, how is this? Okay, we're just going off on a tangent there with that. But then he goes off about the plumbers and the committee to reelect the president and red squaws and CISPs and all that stuff. He says, this isn't paranoia unless you watch them very, very closely. This is how intelligence services act. All intelligence services, everywhere. And no, Bob, your funny ha-ha about cat memes and porn habits, some of which the latter can really land you in jail. So basically now saying that...
Oh, God, suffer the poor little child porn surfers. I mean...
Right. Yeah, thank you. Thank you. So it's like, and now I've got, all the Greenwaldians from Esquire coming after me now.
Oh, awesome.
You know, these are, honestly, I listen to this stuff and my mind just goes blank. Because there are so many more pressing matters that I, as a black person and as a woman, have to deal with besides the government checking to see what kind of porn I'm looking at, especially given COINTELPRO, and especially the way that it was used on black nationalists. Mm-hmm. Like, this is nothing new to me. And I think that, I mean, and I've seen discussions with other black folks on Twitter. We're just like, yeah. And I mean, can we get sure. all of these white folks that are, and they're not, all white. I understand that there are, you know, there are others, but they're predominantly white, middle class or upper class, well off people who are so concerned that the NSA is going to be tapping their phones. Can we get them this upset about voter ID laws,
about reproductive
rights laws, about shit that we can actually do something about and change? Mm-hmm. Because quite frankly, if the NSA wants to spy on us, the NSA is going to spy on us.
Yes.
I mean, that's just the nature of the game. So they can do all of this investigative journalism and Greenwald can dole out these Snowden docs, you know, one a month. But what is he changing? What has he changed?
That's a great point. You're changing nothing, and you will not change anything with that.
Exactly. Yeah.
It has now been swallowed up into sort of our scandal-proof media environment, which is nothing makes a really massive impact anymore. You know, it's just going to get swallowed up. People have gone on about their lives. They're not going to, and yeah, the NSA is going to keep doing what it does anyway. There's nothing you can do. Yeah.
Right. I mean, they may hold some hearings and they may say, you know, pat some people on the head and make motions like they're going to change things. But the people spy on other people. Countries spy on other countries. That's the way it's always been. That's the way it's always going to be. And I really don't understand what it is these people are expecting regular Americans who are just going about their day, trying to keep the government out of their lady parts, trying to, you know, be able to vote without having to, you know, give blood or provide their firstborn child. What do they want those kinds of people to do?
Yeah.
How is it that they plan to gather up some sort of action against what the NSA is doing besides forming multi-million dollar new journalist companies and writing more screeds with 100 updates?
Yeah, these are guys with big paychecks and they have health care and they don't have to worry about, as you said, voter ID or any sort of discrimination. So, yeah, now we can focus on the luxury items, you know, like making sure that NSA isn't looking at your porn. Well, fine, have at it. But don't expect me to get all bent out of shape about it. Really, seriously. There's a story we're going to talk about after the break that is going to be right there, right, exactly one of those stories that you'll never, ever hear Greenwald or anyone else bitching about. Got to take one last break. Back after this.
This is the Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show with Bob Seska and Chez Pazienza.
Okay, we're back. So this is something that no one's really talking about. And more people ought to be talking about this. Because this is sort of right in the... I'm not going to bring it up while we're playing the Peanuts music, the Charlie Brown Christmas music.
Yeah, it doesn't really fit with the subject matter.
No, you should do that with everything. Everything we talk about that's serious, you should play that.
Yeah, maybe I should. Maybe that's a good idea. Let's bring that up again. Yeah, let's talk about the Michigan rape insurance law. I don't think we talk about this last week on the show, Chaz? I don't think we did, but I wrote about it, I'm pretty sure, on the Daily Banter. There's a law that was proposed in Michigan that bans insurance companies in that state from covering abortion. So,
okay.
And that law today has passed. Michigan lawmakers passed a controversial measure on Wednesday that will ban all insurance plans in the state from covering abortion unless the woman's life is in danger. The law, which takes effect in March, will force women and employers to purchase a separate abortion rider if they would like the procedure covered, even in cases of rape and incest. There is no such thing as a separate abortion rider. Nothing. They don't exist. Insurance companies will say, well, you know what? Hey, you want to toss in some abortion coverage in there? Yeah, add that on as a rider.
It's so ridiculous. It's basically telling, I mean, no one plans to have an abortion. Mm-hmm. It just dovetails with this idea that women are these loose sluts who are just going out, having sex, getting pregnant, and then just having abortions as a means of birth control. I mean, that's what this is based on. And it's ridiculous. No one plans for an abortion. No one says, oh, it's Tuesday, I'm going to go out and get my abortion today.
Yeah.
Well, so basically, it's just going to hurt women, especially low-income women, who find themselves needing an abortion and they don't have the money to pay for it out of pocket. It's ludicrous.
Yeah, exactly. Well, the thing is, they all think of it as that sequence from Fast Times at Ridgemont High. You go in, you have sex in the baseball dugout, you get pregnant, and then you have your brother drive you down to get an abortion at the clinic, and then you walk out.
With Ron, the car stereo salesman.
Exactly.
To Jackson Brown, somebody's baby.
And that's the stereotype. I mean, that's what we're getting from these guys. And what this is, what they don't understand, and there was a couple that was interviewed, I forget which article it was, but there was a couple that really had no choice but to have an abortion. But it would have been extraordinarily expensive. It wasn't like, you know, a quickie couple hundred bucks in and out. You know, it wasn't one of those sorts of things. Their unborn child was diagnosed to have only half of its head or something like that. It was some sort of terrible, terrible birth defect. And the only way they could terminate this pregnancy was with hospitalization. Which anytime you're actually hospitalized overnight in a hospital, it's going to cost a fortune, especially because of a complicated, add on top of that, a very complicated procedure. So now you have a very, very complicated, risky hospital stay kind of abortion in progress there. And that could really only be covered by insurance. Now, people go through something like that. They have to deal with something like that. One of the most horrific circumstances you can deal with, not only as a parent, but as a human being, is now also got to pay for it out of pocket, unless you get an abortion rider, which doesn't exist.
Yep. It's just unconscionable.
Mm. Yeah. Welcome to the United States of America.
But meanwhile, we should be really concerned about the fact that the NSA is tapping our phones.
Right. Right. The NSA is looking at the porn habits of six terrorists. That was the Glenn Greenwald article in the Huffington Post.
That's his most recent. I can't. I Greenwald is a smart guy, and he's obviously passionate, whether it's for the actual cause or about making a name for himself and getting money, whatever. The passion is there for the subject matter. If he would turn that passion into something that actually matters.
Right. Right.
You know, and what's really interesting about it is, like, when was the last time he wrote an article about drones?
It's been a long, long time. That's for
sure. Since Snowden came along, drones are like, oh, drones. That was so 2010, 2012.
Yep.
Now, 2013 is the year of Snowden and the NSA.
Oh, my God. Yeah. And there's, you know, we're going to talk about this on the after party, because I don't even have the patience to talk about it on the free show. And nor do we have time to get into it. This whole thing about the person of the year thing. I'm not going to talk about it on the free show. The person of the year business. Oh, Times okay. Person of the Year and Snowden, okay. Greenwald's freak out over that. That was the big Greenwald thing of the week. We're gonna hold that over to the after party. But I do want to talk about this. Chez, you wrote about this in the Daily Banter today. This poor woman who worked for the state of Hawaii.
She was not a poor woman. She was in on the conspiracy, man.
She knew, yep.
They had to take her out. And Donald Trump has already commented on it, by the way.
This woman, who her name is Loretta Fuddy, died after the Cessna Grand Caravan aircraft she was traveling on went down shortly after leaving Kalaupapa Airport at around 3:15 p.m. local time on Wednesday. She was the woman who authorized the release of the long form birth certificate?
Oh, you're kidding me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so now let the conspiracy theories begin.
Come on.
Jones already has a
like a 2-minute video clip put together by another one of those college kids. I always love that. You know, it's like that whole stupid loose change thing for 9/11, like got everybody talking, and it's a couple of high college kids who like Ron Paul who put that together.
Yeah.
And it's, yeah, so he's already posted this thing. It's like, it's about 2.5 minutes, and isn't that interesting? Don't you find that, isn't that a coincidence? It's a fucking plane crash, you idiot.
Has he done a segment about it? Did he go off about it on his show today?
I don't know about that.
Well, if he didn't, we could actually do it for him.
Chemtrails.
Chemtrails. He probably took down the Cessna with you using weather weapons. You know, just get up there with airplanes. You see any airplanes or helicopters flying around, pushing around the hurricanes? Maybe move a tornado, knock it out of the sky.
Something about estrogen in the juice boxes.
lizard people.
Lizard people from outer space moving things around, moving the weather around, using cyclotronic warfare.
Yeah, and who was the the one guy who was, I can't remember what story it was he was talking about when he says that Baldwin, he's got sources. He's got what? That's it. That's your attribution. He's got sources. Okay, well, that's good to know. Thank you, dude.
All right, so I think they're moving those hurricanes around using cyclotron. I got all the documents right here. I'm moving all the documents around here on my desk. You can see. And then they go to a close-up shot. They're all printouts from Infowars.com.
It's like, of course.
I got all the evidence right here on these papers. And they're not papers at all. They're just printouts from your goddamn website. But that's the psychosis. We're all in the know. We know, and you don't. But because we know and we question, we're better Americans than you. And in fact, that dovetails quite nicely with all the Glenn Greenwald stuff.
Yeah, they're just two sides of the same coin.
Mm-hmm, sure.
They really are. I mean, I don't even understand what Greenwald is on about anymore. It's really just, it's bizarre. It's just bizarre. I got nothing. I don't know. I was going to bring up that story that was written by, what's her name? Something Edmonds.
Oh, Sybil Edmonds.
Yeah,
yeah,
questioning if there's any conflict of interest between Glenn Greenwald on the one hand, who is railing against NSA and has got, you know, working with Snowden, and PayPal on the other hand, which may or may not have similar agreements as Facebook and Google and whatever with the NSA about passing along customer data. And now I read the article. She was just asking questions, and she was asking the same kinds of questions that Greenwald asks all the time. But Greenwald went bananas on her on Twitter.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it was just like calling her stupid and an idiot and a liar and insane and a lunatic. And I'm just sitting here watching this like, how in the world does he get away with this behavior?
Oh, yeah.
How in the world do people take him seriously when asked questions that he himself would ask as a journalist, he resorts immediately to name calling and then mocking?
Oh, yes, yes. And I'd like to actually detail more about that story, because I wrote about it for Banter today about this, and we're going to obviously have to bump it over to the after party. But yeah, the thing is, Sybil Edmonds, who's actually a former FBI translator and turned whistleblower, she's a whistleblower herself, discovered that that PayPal, owned by Pierre Omidyar, may have colluded with NSA in terms of gathering customer data.
Yeah.
It's fascinating. But that fits in perfectly with a whole other pattern going on with Greenwald, which is, you know, his ongoing, you know, brushes with all of the corporate surveillance he claims to dislike and claims to loathe. And so this is, you know, a fascinating article, just an utterly fascinating article. And he ends up kind of confessing to it. I mean, he ends up kind of saying, well, yeah, this might be true. So we're going to have to talk about that.
But he called, what's her name? I'm sorry, I don't remember her name. He called her crazy and or stupid on
Twitter.
That's
right. Yeah.
And also a lunatic and a liar.
Yeah,
I mean, it was, I mean, he
this
was.
This is the person we need to take seriously. Glenn
exactly. Exactly. You know, I mean, it boggles my mind. And honestly, I know how you hate talking about privilege, Chez, you know, but like the white male privilege that it takes to be able to go and act that way in public is just astonishing.
Oh, yeah,
because
you're right.
I could never in a million years have someone question my involvement with, for example, Americans United for Life while I'm working for RH Reality Check writing about reproductive rights, have someone question me about that. Is there a conflict of interest? And me just going off and calling them a lunatic and a liar and stupid.
Yeah, then you're unhinged. You're...
Yeah, yeah.
You're angry.
God. You're an angry yep. black lady.
I'm an angry black lady.
But, I mean, that's what I was kind of alluding to before, is the privilege of it. The privilege of having health insurance, of having a big paycheck, of having basically all kinds of immunity because of your race. You can spend all kinds of time focused on relatively inconsequential. I won't say inconsequential things across the board, but relatively inconsequential things.
Yeah. Oh, I said it a long time ago. It must be really, really nice having, like, being able to, like, the luxury in your life to be able to be afraid of things you can't see. Mm-hmm. I have so many things in my life that terrify me that are right in front of me. I can't even imagine.
Yeah.
Like literally being worried that the NSA is spying on me.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. I'm not willing to bash the president leading up to his reelection campaign. For several reasons, the main one being, if he loses, I don't get health insurance. Right. I don't get health insurance. Yep. I mean, that leading up to the 2012 campaign, it was a constant panic. Like, if this guy loses, I'm screwed. You know, and so many other people believe that. So many other people were in the exact same boat. And then it's not just that; it's issue after issue after issue. All right, we got to go. Angry Black Lady, Imani Getty, thank you so much. She's at angryblacklady.com, thisweekinblackness.com. Go look her up.
And readers to rhrealitycheck.com.
There you
dot
go.
.org. Excuse me, .org. rhrealitycheck.org. I'm messing up the URL of my own employer. Way to go, ABL.
Bye, everybody.